Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up 2 bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the 3rd bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. Dave Graveline with you. Our 23 years covering the latest in consumer tech, products and services available today and into tomorrow. And as we've been talking about, we're delighted to be at Connet again, the 2018 edition. It's all about connected healthcare and information technology. I like to think that the IT stands for into tomorrow, but they say something about information technology, so we'll go with that. Delighted to have with us in this segment the CEO of Axel Springer, who is also the opening and keynote speaker here at Connet, Christoph Kesse. Christoph, welcome into tomorrow. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, and thank you, Dave, for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. You spoke, of course, in the opening press conference as well and got my attention with the digitalization of medical records, among many other things, artificial intelligence. It was a lot of pretty good discussion. And then you also had, of course, a very well-attended, very popular keynote here at Connet as well. What are the kinds of things you can share with our audience from a consumer standpoint that you covered here at Connet? And then we'll get into some of the fun stuff.
Sure. From a consumer standpoint, I think it's fair to say that the health industry has not really aggressively digitalized its own business. So just when you're listening to this show, just imagine you needing an appointment with your doctor and compare it to wanting a table or a seat at a table at your favorite restaurant. What do you do at your restaurant? You pull out OpenTable and you just do a booking. You get an instant confirmation and there you go and enjoy your evening. Do the same thing for your physician, for your doctor. You need to see him or you need to see her. It's more difficult. Most of the times it's still calling up the assistant, trying to make an arrangement. It becomes even more difficult when you go to an emergency room. And many people don't go to emergency rooms only for immediate urgencies, but also because it's weekend, you have some stomach pain, you need a doctor to look at. Just do the test and try to do the booking online. It's pretty difficult.
And of course, it's 2018, so especially our audience is thinking, I should be able to do everything online. And you bring up a very good point. Why can't we yet?
Yes, absolutely. And for example, when you have to do an x-ray, for example, in mid of the process, my son, for example, fractured his leg, so we went to a radiologist and he got his leg x-rayed. So this needed to be seen by a doctor in a big hospital here in Berlin. So what I needed to do is go down to the radiologist, pick up a CD-ROM, physically take it to the hospital where it was lost. And there was a frantic...
Wait, you had to take it to the hospital and then they lost it.
Yeah, they did lose it. And so they spent another 3 days of frantic search for this. And of course, the boy could have been 12 years old, could have been x-rayed once again, but this is dangerous because there's so much x-ray on him, so they needed to find this. And this in the year 2018. Or just look at billing. You get a paper bill to your home. Maybe your bank helps you. You can just take a photograph of it and it automatically wires the money. But why are they sending you a paper bill in the first place? Why is not the entire process digitalized from beginning to end? As Apple would say, a seamless end-to-end user experience. What other industries, like computer industries, banking, even insurance, even airlines have done over the past years is end-to-end seamless user experiences, and healthcare is lagging behind in that respect.
And of course, you brought up a good point here in Berlin that the healthcare industry has a lot of catching up to do, but it's not the last industry, right, to get caught up. There's at least another industry that's major that is worse than the healthcare industry in terms of being digital.
Yes, and I'm quoting The Economist, the magazine on this one. They had a story claiming, and I think it's pretty true, that the building industry, building homes, building houses, is the least digitalized industry in this world, which is probably true, but healthcare is not far from that, which is not to say that they're not what they call island solutions. So certain islands of digital systems that work quite well in an isolated surrounding, but the entire value production chain, the entire pipeline, is not digitalized as it should be. Now, this can be a nuisance, but it can also be dangerous, because when you look at state of artificial intelligence today, for example, you will find that AI algorithms can better identify many x-rays, for example, and find the thing that bothers you, find the real diagnosis of what is bothering you, much more precise and much more reliable than a human doctor. So this can become dangerous if you're not being diagnosed, let's say, with lung cancer because your doctor doesn't see it, whereas an algorithm could see it in time.
Some good points there. And of course, folks are typically concerned about privacy, which we tell our audience to give up. There is no privacy anymore. But the privacy of one's medical records are certainly very important. And so that, I guess, has become a stumbling block for some in order to digitize all the records for both the physician and, another good point you brought up, for the individual. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to log on and see everything that I've had to deal with medically.
It's very true, Dave. And when it comes to privacy, obviously privacy is very, very important, and I wouldn't want my data to be seen by everybody. But privacy can also be used as an excuse for not acting. Let's compare it to banks once again. I don't want my bank account or my banking transaction to be seen by everybody. I want this to be private, right? And my bank or my banks have started digitalizing their processes and giving me an online access like 20 years ago, and many of our listeners would probably have the same experience. Has anything ever gotten astray? Was there any like a hacking scandal where everybody put my banking account data up online? Luckily not. So 20 years have gone past with very high privacy requirements by me as a customer, and absolutely nothing, in my personal case, nothing going wrong. So I would make the argument that the health industry could pretty go down the same path. I don't want this stuff to be seen, but there are ways and means to keep them from the general public and just allow access to my doctor and myself.
And of course, you are working hard toward that goal, and I hope many, many people listen, because it is 2018, and we do want to have more information. You mentioned, of course, AI. Do you think artificial intelligence is playing yet a big enough role in healthcare, or have we got a long way to go with that?
Well, healthcare is punching below its weight when it comes to AI. AI is doing stunning things today, and we are experiencing a new boom in AI. There was what they call the artificial intelligence winter, because they have like 15, 20 years, no big breakthrough, technical breakthrough happened in artificial intelligence, even though it has been a scientific discipline for beginning of the 50s, probably. But now, 3-4 years ago, something new happened, what they call deep learning, neurons and artificial brains, so to say, that work in a completely different way than artificial intelligence has done before. So what this new technology can do is it's very good at pattern recognition. So when you go to a different field, like the identification of car signs, of street signs, so a stop sign or a yield sign, right? Computers, artificial intelligence, have now a much lower failure rate in recognizing street signs than the human being. The typical failure rate for human beings is 5% of all traffic signs are not being recognized in the right way, misunderstood, and computers are far below that. Now transpose, take this information and put it to your x-ray of your chest, and identifying a tumor in its early stage. I hope that nobody here has a tumor right now, but just imagine that an AI algorithm could identify it quicker, better, and more reliable than your doctor could, because it sees stuff that humans cannot see in time. This has huge impact on the future of our health system.
Christoph, you're a delight to talk with, and I can understand now why you have such a popular podcast as well. We invite our audience to check out HY Podcast, H-Y Podcast, and you'll hear Christoph and various and sundry things that he has on his mind. Great meeting you, excellent press conference, and an even better opening keynote here for Connet. Thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us here into tomorrow, and let's make sure we stay in touch and talk again. There's much more to talk about.
Well, thank you, Dave. We will definitely do so. Thank you.
My pleasure. Intotomorrow.com, where, of course, you can hear all 3 hours of the program. And if you don't miss anything, you'd sign up for our free podcast as well. They're available for you again at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We're back with more from Berlin, Germany, here on the Advanced Media Network.